1 of chapter 5 of Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I want to speak to you tonight on blessed are they that mourn. Father, we thank you for the presence of the Lord here tonight in this service. Thank you that Jesus walks among us. I pray that you'd help us to exalt him and honor him and glorify him tonight in our hearts. Lord, I pray that the word of God would be powerful. Lord, you'd find a lodging place in our hearts. Bring forth fruit in our lives. I pray for the anointing upon me, Father. I realize my dependence upon you. Ask you to help us tonight around the word of God. And we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On some mountain, with his disciples gathered around him, Jesus is propagating a new philosophy of life. He really turns the world's thinking upside down in this Sermon on the Mount, and specifically in these Beatitudes. He is describing the kind of life that he came to construct in his disciples. And he is providing them with instruction and giving to them empowerment to live the kind of life that he's describing here in this Sermon on the Mount, and in particular in these Beatitudes. Jesus shatters the common misconceptions of the ideal life. In this first beatitude, which I preached about this morning, Jesus has shot down the concept of self-sufficiency. And he is teaching us that the favor of God rests not on those who are independent and those who are self-sufficient, but those who are leaning heavily on him, the poor in spirit, those who recognize their dependency upon the Lord. And in this second beatitude, Jesus pronounces a blessing upon those with a tender and a broken heart. Blessed are they that mourn. So what Jesus is saying here is that those people with a tender heart have the favor and blessing of God in their life. Now, it takes God to give us a tender heart. God removes that stony heart, and he puts in us a heart of flesh. Now, he's not pronouncing a blessing upon people who weep over petty and trivial things. Heaven don't have a reward for those who are weeping because they cannot wear name brand clothes, or because they cannot afford the latest SUV on the market. And Christ is not dealing with the kind of sorrow that some display when their favorite team loses in the Super Bowl, or when their rich uncle cuts them out of his will. That's not the kind of sorrow. That's not the kind of mourning that Jesus is talking about here. But instead, Jesus is declaring God's favor upon that person whose heart is broken for the right reason. Blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. The disciple of Jesus mourns over the right thing. He mourns over his personal sins and failures. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10, For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. You know, I know that everybody doesn't cry when they get saved, but everybody has to be sorry about their sins. Everybody has to have a broken heart over what they have done to God. And the Bible tells us that godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. And that salvation is not to be repented of, never to be regretted, never to be backed out of. It's a wonderful salvation. And the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 34 and 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. When a man fails to see the seriousness of his sin, it leads to shallow and short-lived repentance unless he sees the true nature of his sin. That's why the Holy Ghost is here in this world, is to convince us of the true nature of our sin. I've prayed with people around the altars who struggled to come to the place of faith, and it wasn't that God wouldn't provide them the faith. The problem was that they were not willing to repent. They didn't really see the seriousness of their sin. When a man sees the seriousness of his sin and he truly repents in his heart, God gives us the gift of faith. It's no problem getting into the kingdom of heaven when a man truly repents of his sin. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Even the faith is the gift of God. God gives us the faith. When we repent of our sins, God grants us the faith, we can enter the kingdom of God. When a man fails to see the seriousness of sin, Jesus told about that woman, you know, that came and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And the Pharisee was complaining about this woman. If Jesus knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't have let her touch, he wouldn't have let this woman touch him. And Jesus asked him a question about if a person is forgiven much, then this is in essence, this is the lesson that Jesus taught. If a person is forgiven little, they love little. If they are forgiven much, they love much. But now, Jesus said that understanding that everybody who's ever been forgiven has been forgiven much. Now, they may not realize it. They may not have come to that concept in their heart and mind. But everybody that's ever been forgiven has been forgiven much. And when a man realizes that, he will love much. Brother, I never smoked a cigarette, never went to a ball game in my life, never knew what alcohol smelt like until I was a grown man, and never tasted of it in my life. Never went out with a wild girl in my life, got saved when I was 13 years old, prayed around the altars, sought God as a young man. Many things out in the world I never tasted of, never experienced, and never knew anything about. And the world thought I was a pretty good fella, but the Holy Ghost showed me that I was an ugly sinner. And I came to the altar recognizing I deserved hell and cried out to God, and God, for mercy, save my soul. I'm telling you, I do not consider myself to be a man who's been forgiven little. I consider myself to be a man who's been forgiven much. And I love him because Jesus was willing to forgive me of my sins. This is the reason why that some people's repentance is so shallow, is because they are not convinced of the horror of their sin. Blessed are they that mourn. And this word mourn in the Greek is the word used for the mourning at the death of a loved one. It is profound mourning. It is profound weeping. That person who has come face to face with the ugliness of their sin, that person who has come face to face with the true nature of their sin, the deadly nature of their sin, and has wept and cried and mourned over their sins, they shall be comforted. When I was growing up, the Holiness Church I grew up in, there were some young people about my age. One boy in particular, just a little younger than me, and we were in high school together. He went down a different path, went out in sin, married a girl there in the school, popular girl there in the school. And after they got married, her parents were not holiness, and They went to another church, and he convinced them that he was saved, and they got married. After they got married, just maybe 3 or 4 months later, they came to a holiness conference convention there in our area, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of that boy's heart, and it broke him up. He came to the altar that night. I was there in the service. That boy came to the altar and went to crying and weeping. I think he must have cried a solid hour at that altar, just sobbing and weeping and crying. And God wonderfully and gloriously saved that boy. And he testified to his wife and to his in-laws that God had saved him. Well, it made him mad. They were church-going people, maybe deacons. But it made them mad. They said, "You told us you was already saved." And he began to straighten up his life and began to live a holy life. And he asked his wife maybe to do a thing or two that he'd like for her to do. And it just really upset the family. In fact, she walked away, just went home to her parents. This boy's just been married like 3 or 4 months. And it was a real test. Young married couple. He just now got saved. Wife walked away and went home. And her parents defending their decision. And he keeps on going to church, to the Holiness Church, worshiping God. After a while, a few months go by. And they work things out to where they decide they'll go to her church one Sunday. They'll go to his church the next Sunday. So they do that for a while. After a while, he got tired of going to somewhere where there wasn't no food and somewhere where there was no holy living. And so he decided he's just going to go to his church, and he did. You know what she did? She started going with him. And eventually, she wound up in the altar, and God wonderfully saved her, sanctified and filled her with the Holy Ghost. She's a piano player at the Holiness Church now. But I'm going to tell you why she's a piano player at the Holiness Church. It's because there was a man under conviction of the Holy Ghost who prayed through to an experience with God he wasn't willing to back out on. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, brother, this is the kind of mourning that gets results. Praise the name of Jesus. When a man is under conviction of sin, till his heart's broken over that sin. And I know people don't have to shed tears. I'm not saying everybody has to get religion that away. I've known people that got saved and never shed a tear. But their heart was broken over their sins. A man can have a broken heart over his sins without shedding a tear. I know that. But I'm telling you, brother, that a man must be broken over his sins in order to get forgiveness from God. The disciple of Christ not only mourns over his sins, but he mourns over the sins of others. He's deeply affected by the lack of response to God that he sees in the people around him. He's deeply affected by the persistent rebellion against God by people in his family, by people in his community. He weeps. He weeps. He's heartbroken over souls. He's heartbroken on behalf of God. David said in Psalm 119 and 136, "Rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law." This is the heart of a disciple. He's not just concerned about his own sins. He's concerned about the sins of the people in his family and in his community. 1 Corinthians 5:2, Paul rebukes the Corinthians because they are sheltering a fornicator in the fellowship of the church. And he indicates that they took satisfaction in tolerating this man's behavior. And Paul said to them, "You are puffed up and have not rather mourned." He expected them to be brokenhearted over a man sitting in their midst who's committing fornication and claiming the name of Jesus. He expected them to be broken-hearted over that. I wonder if we're broken-hearted. When we look around and see the condition, the moral condition of the American church, I wonder if it breaks our heart. In Philippians 3:18, Paul said, "For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." I wonder how we can be so tolerant of sin when God has said His disciples are people who mourn over sin, whose hearts are broken over sin, not just their own sin, but the sins of others around them. When I go to my family reunions, I come away with a broken heart, brother. I'm telling you, my heart is crushed. When I go to family reunions, I look around and see people that once knew the truth and walked away from it. I see people who have left behind the teachings and instruction of the Word of God and still claiming the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. I pray for my people because I have a broken heart over my people. When there are people sitting at your table and they are lost without God and they don't know Jesus and they're living a life that dishonors the name of Jesus, shouldn't it break our hearts? Shouldn't we mourn over these souls? Shouldn't we be concerned about that? It's very difficult to see how we can be so dried in such a polluted church world. You know, the person who has never seen the tragedy of his own sin does not see the tragedy of the sin in others. It's only when we have seen the tragedy of the sin that we were involved in that we understand the tragedy of the sin in other people. We don't want to lose touch with the heart of God, children. When a man is tolerant of sin, whether it's in his heart or whether it's in the life of others, that man has lost touch with the heart of God. Because God abhors sin. God's heart is broken over sin. And whenever we can tolerate sin, and it doesn't disturb us and it doesn't bother us, we have lost touch with the heart of God. That disciple of Jesus weeps over the present and impending judgment of God upon sinners. Look at our Savior, the one we're following. Look at Him as He comes over the Mount of Olives and looks down on Jerusalem and sees a city under the judgment of God. And the Bible says that Jesus wept over that city. And He said to them, "If you had only known in this thy day the things that belong to thy peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." And this city is going to be leveled, and the judgment of God is upon this place. And Jesus did not rejoice over that. Jesus wept over that city. That disciple of Jesus is heartbroken because of the impending judgment upon sinners. Listen to the prophet Jeremiah, a man prophesying to Judah in a time when Judah is racing to judgment. And the prophet says, "Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." That disciple weeps over people who do not know to weep over themselves, who are unaware, perhaps willfully ignorant, of the impending judgment of God upon their life, and they do not weep. But that disciple who understands the Word of God, understands the ways of God, who understands the impending judgment of God, is heartbroken over people who do not realize the danger they are in themselves. It's evident to me from this beatitude that God wants a people with a tender heart. He wants a people that are easily touched by the sin and suffering around them. And it's so easy for us to become hard-hearted. And it's so easy for us to become cynical toward other people. And instead of broken hearts, we become bitter instead of broken. Bitter because we're disappointed in this person. Bitter because this person let us down. Bitter because this person's not doing right. God don't want us adopting a bitter spirit because of the disappointments that we see in others. He wants us to adopt a broken spirit. God wants us to mourn over the sins of other people around us. I'm telling you, brother, you got to watch this. And sister, you got to watch this. I know from personal experience that the devil will cause us to become hard-hearted, disappointed in other people, cynical toward them, make us think that there's no hope for them, cause us to give up on their souls when God hasn't given up on them and God still wants to save them. So I'm telling you that this is the heart of a disciple of Jesus. It is a tender heart. It is a heart that is able to mourn over the sins of others, over the impending judgment of God upon others. You know, God help us. I say, God help us, that we be concerned about those that are closest to us. It really disturbs me when a man's not concerned about the people that he brought into this world. They had no say-so about being here, but they're going to live on eternally somewhere. And if a man's not concerned about those people that he helped bring into this world, I'm telling you, brother, there ain't no way we can be concerned about people halfway around this world if we're not concerned about the people we can touch and feel and talk to. I want God to work on my heart. I want God to help me to have that softness and tenderness of heart that characterizes a disciple of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that mourn. Oh my. When I see a sinner come to Jesus and they're weeping over their sins, you know what I do? I weep with them. Hallelujah. Oh, I weep for joy that a sinner has realized his need of God and is coming to Jesus. When I hear testimonies about people who have come out of darkness into light, their life has been changed. Tears of joy flow. God wants us to have a tender heart, brother and sister. Blessed are they that mourn. This is the promise. They shall be comforted. The Spirit of God is called our comforter. Same Spirit that breaks our hearts, that same Spirit then comforts our hearts. I want you to understand this. Your weeping will produce results. The Bible tells us, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God sees our tears. The psalmist says that God has stored up our tears in a bottle in heaven. I'm telling you, you don't waste your tears. When you are mourning for the right reasons, you do not waste your tears. Our weeping is going to produce results. But our weeping is just going to last for a little time. It won't last forever. We're not going to weep forever. For the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You read about that city, the New Jerusalem, in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. We have a description of heaven, the New Jerusalem. I heard a voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Listen, these are people that have known weeping. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. These are people with a tender heart. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And they shall... He wiped all tears from their eyes. And he once put tears in our eyes. He's the one that breaks our heart, gives us a tender heart. He puts tears in our eyes. But one day, He's going to wipe the tears away from our eyes. Weeping may endure for the night. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. I'm telling you that this church right here will never be as effective as God wants it to be unless there are tender hearts in this place. People whose hearts are broken over sin, over the judgment of God, who are willing to make themselves vulnerable and allow God to use them to shed tears over sinners and bring men to Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I want to be one of them, don't you? Praise the Lord. We used to have a big picture of the world. Our sister Judy comes to the piano, a big picture of the world in our old sanctuary. And it had scripture from Mark chapter 16, go ye into all the world. And at the bottom, it had this, start at home. Go ye into all the world, start right where you are. I'm telling you, it's hard for a child to resist the kind of love that puts tears in dad's eyes and puts tears in mama's eyes for their soul. It's hard for a child to resist a dad and a mom whose hearts are broken over their sins. And I know, children, I know that children can break your hearts and make your heart cynical for the way they live and conduct themselves. But pray that God will help us to have a broken heart, a tender heart, a heart that not only sheds tears, but believes our weeping will only last for the night and joy is coming in the morning. That they that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. God, help us to believe that. Our weeping is not going to last forever. God's going to answer our prayers. Let's stand together.